You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to part two. Part two of everybody's crying mercy. Begging for mercy. What is it?
Everybody's mercy crying.
Everybody, some words, mercy. This is part two. Everybody's crying mercy. I was right. Make sure you listen to part one. We are going to be starting part two off with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Explosion. Oh, you okay? I was like, he's making a face. I don't think he's finished. Okay, I was correct.
I'm never finished.
Two people in this one.
Okay. It's the mom of that heart dude.
Yes.
Awesome.
It is.
The other person is someone I don't know. Gotta look at all my shit. Who the fuck is in this episode? No one really important.
What if we did the whole episode like this?
Okay. That Kara lady.
No.
Fuck. Is it the brother she cheated with?
No.
Is it just the dad of the heart guy?
No.
Is it the heart guy?
Yes.
Okay.
It took you so long.
Ugh, man. It's a tough one.
You know, I was watching Scandal today. Do you remember
Kelsey,
Nurse Ethan?
Stop talking about other things and just do the fucking episode. That's what our reviewers want us. No predictions, no rants.
No predictions. We want you to come back when you've consumed every episode of this show.
Okay, wait. Who's Nurse Ethan?
Do you remember? No, sorry. Nurse Tyler. I don't know why I said Ethan. Nurse Tyler. Do you remember in like the first probably like 3 to 4 seasons, he was like a reoccurring nurse and he would like pop in and like say something really funny and then leave?
What show is this?
Grace. Do you remember when Christina...
Was seducing
Burke and he was not watching the door. Anyways... I was watching Scandal, and he got shot on it. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone gets shot in Scandal.
Max. That's so true. Okay,
remember Nurse Olivia?
I do remember Nurse Olivia. Okay, Julie Dretzen plays Carmen Hall, the mom of the heart patient.
Her name
child.
Is Carmen?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. She was in 3 episodes of How to Get Away with Murder. And Joey Luthman, who played Michael Hall, was in 2 episodes of Private Practice.
Nice.
That's what I got for you.
I love it. I gotta say, one of my favorite parts about doing Living in Shondaland is the joy that it brings people. The fact that so many folks out there love not only, singing the jingle along, but like the research that Kelsey puts into it. Like it's just fun, This is a good old time. And if you're someone who has ever once for one singular millisecond received any level of enjoyment from Living in Shondaland, Hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button, that review button, that five fucking star button, that share to your Instagram story button from Spotify, from Instagram, from wherever. Tell your friends, tell your family, go to the Apple store and just write a review on a phone that lives there. Take your friend's phone and just hit that follow button on their Spotify account, and it's going to just pop up one day, and it'll happen. If you are at a building of workitude, if you're at a place that has an Alexa with a Spotify account connected to it, just play Grey's Anatomy, Grey's Academy, wherever you're at, just do it, and full volume. Go to the Gary Clark episode if you want. Do something. Anyways, that's my one wish. Yeah.
My Christmas wish.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Speaking of Kara and Carlos.
Yes, okay. This storyline specifically was like, they were really giving us a lot of Jackson and Steph.
Yeah.
They were like, here's this. Do you remember that they're a couple?
Yeah.
At the very beginning, Jackson's standing next to April and she's like, oh, I'm waiting to hear about my boards. And he's like, oh, you passed. And she's like, well, if I fail, at least you'll know the first time wasn't your fault. Okay. It wasn't his fault. Even if you do pass. Anyways.
Yeah. Boards or no boards. It's not Jackson's fault.
Yeah. And then, Steph comes and I felt the way he like was like, hey, and just like ran away. I thought that was weird. Did you get I was like, did I misinterpret this? Like, it's almost like she was coming and he like diverted her to like not come over and talk to April or something. I don't know. It was just, it seemed weird to me.
No, I took that a different direction. I was like, okay. Oh, he's looking for any excuse to get out of that conversation. And he's like, oh, hey, like, yeah, absolutely, I'll come over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, that seems to make more sense to me, honestly, with his character and with that. Okay, we'll go with that then.
You ever get locked into a conversation at a kid's birthday party from one of, you know, like Scarlett's classmates, and you're talking to the parent and like, you're like, man, the conversation is going on way too long. I'm looking for any excuse. Scarlett, please run up to me and ask for my help for something. Tell me you need to go to the bathroom, something. I've been in those situations. Like, well, Marlo will be like, run up to me and I'm talking to someone. I'll go, oh, hey, Marlo. Yeah. Okay. Let's go over here and talk. Sorry. I gotta go. Oh,
ooh, no. So sorry.
I loved our conversation. Was amazing. This was so great.
I cannot wait for it to never happen again.
I'm sure I'll run into you in 2 seconds because we're in a 20 square foot room. It's fine. Actually, 20 square feet is like small, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a nothing. It's like a table.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. So we'll say that's what he was doing. Anyway, so he takes Steph and he's like, oh, we're going to be working on this like amazing case today. This patient. How did this happen? I don't remember what the backstory.
Which part?
Was.
It looks like she's got some sort of like, is it a
facial
burn?
Scarring from burns?
Burn, yeah.
And so she's had a couple surgeries. And Jackson is going to do a pro bono surgery to like finish out the final facial reconstruction and skin grafting. And she's like so excited. And the I don't know.
She's
if
a kindergarten
her dad
teacher
or
she,
her husband. I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't really get a read on that, but he's like, our intern's maxed out. And Jackson's like, don't worry, like, we got it. This one's on us, which is so sweet, so kind, so life-changing. What a special gift. And then Owen is like, bitch, we can't do shit that's good. And Jackson says, yes, we can. I am in charge. And I tell you what to do. And you will make it happen. And Owen's like, interesting. I got rid of your patient. You need to do liposuction. So Jackson and Steph do some liposuction and she's like, can I just not do this? And he says, yeah, that's fine. Leave. Which is fair because she is studying. The interns are studying for their boards. Or sorry, their intern exam. not their boards.
Yeah, I was like, so, I don't think that one's right.
No. Studying for the intern exam. So that's why they're all studying and like hanging out all the time. And so Jackson does all this lipo. And then after he does that, Owen's like, peekaboo, here's your patient. And he says, I lied because I needed you to do those liposuctions because now that's what will pay for the pro bono surgery that you want to do for her. And it's fine. I just pushed it back a day. And there's also like a lot of going, like a lot of Owen's issues in this episode are because there's damage to the hospital from the storm and it's really impacting the entire like efficiency of the hospital because it's in the outpatient surgical area. And because that's damaged, all of the outpatient surgeries are being done in like the regular ORs. And so they're like taking up spots and it's like overwhelming the system. So they can't do as much. Are you okay? What is happening?
I'm just like itching my back and I'm like just moving. I'm just fidgety, you know? I'm just listening.
You're bringing up really great points. Like, I thought you were seeing like a spider or something on the floor and like trying to track it with your body.
No, you're doing great. You're amazing.
Thank you so
much. Don't worry about
me.
You go on. Well,
if you would be less distracting, I wouldn't worry about you. But you're thrashing all over the screen.
I'm like, you know, I'm just like, I guess I was looking down the whole time. I wasn't really looking at my, I guess I am pretty distracting. I'm like moving around a lot. My bad.
Again, medication. Would be beneficial. Anyways, it's fine.
Okay, so I had a couple thoughts that are totally unrelated that I'd like to share.
Wait, hold on, wait.
I'm kidding.
Anyways, there's a hole in the hospital. Owen really wants the board together to get together to fix it. And they won't because Derek and Meredith aren't there. Callie and Arizona won't be in the same room together. Christina doesn't give a shit about being on the board. And Jackson is also sick of being on the board. So. To Owen's point, I do think that it is their job. And he does say, if you can't be doctors and board members, we do have a problem, which is very correct. So he is like trying to get them. So that's how he kind of finagles Jackson to understand the issue is by lying about Kara and then getting... Jackson to do the liposuction, and then Jackson's like, oh, I see. If it was important enough to lie, it must be important in real life.
Yeah. I'll tell you, actually a pretty decent storyline with Owen. And also, I think when I was guessing for Shondaland, I said Kara and Carlos, but when I said Kara and the brother that she cheated on, it was the other girl who cheated on her brother. It was not, not Kara. So, that scene where Owen is basically saying we're not doing pro bono surgeries and the board approved that. And Jackson's like, it doesn't fucking matter. I'm the board. I'm your boss. Be a good fucking traffic cop. Take these marching orders and do your shit. And he says, yes, sir, and walks away. And I'm like, this is just, again, we talk about HR, but this is just a really bad power dynamic that is showing that there are flaws in the system in general overall. And I liked this episode really kind of started digging into that. I guess my confusion is like when Owen said he transferred the patients and he has to do the liposuction piece, did Jackson never think, I'm going to call them and tell them to come back? He just moved on with his day. And, you know, I guess not everyone would think that, but that's what I was thinking in my head is if someone said that, I'd be like, I'm going to call them right now. Tell them to fucking come back. That's stupid. This is bullshit. But I do. Yeah. To your point, I like that he basically, the lie was important enough to basically say, we got to get people together. We got to find the money. We could do the pro bono stuff. That's totally fine. But like now working in a hospital, my vast and expanse hospital administrator knowledge now that I have accumulated over my lifetime in veterinary medicine is that's true. You have to make the cases with the money work so that you can do those pro bono ones when you feel like you need to save a life or change a life. So, And while Kara and Carlos are fictional people, they seem lovely.
Mm, they do. It's true.
Do we want to talk about the scene where they come together? Well, part of the issue, well, Callie and Arizona can't be in the same room as each other. Every time they're together, Callie walks away.
Yeah.
Even in the red dress and the haircut that Christina points out and then says nothing about.
I love Christina. Do I look nice? You look tense.
Yeah. You got to tell me I look nice or else I'm going to be thinking that I'm all not looking nice. Blah, 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 blah. Arizona, just go to therapy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes. So the whole thing, it shows Arizona like picking out a dress at the very beginning of the episode. And she's like trying to look nice. And then she goes to remind Callie like, oh, we have, you know, therapy tonight at 7. And Callie's like, I don't know about that. Meh. And then she goes to Christina and Owen and is like, you guys tried therapy. Did that work? Well, obviously not. No offense.
Yeah, I mean, look
and
at
Christina
you guys.
Goes, offense.
Yeah. Also, that scene. So when Arizona does go to Callie, it's like, hey, just like, don't forget. And Callie is not going. Arizona's like, but yeah, but we agreed on it. And Callie says, yeah, we agreed on a lot of things.
Like not
cheating on each other.
People.
Like we're married. Okay. Oh,
like vows.
Goodness. But yeah, that scene where she comes in and she basically says, hey, I want to ask you guys about how your therapy journey went because it was shit, right? Like it's total shit. It doesn't work. Yeah. Okay, cool. Glad we're all on the same page. So savage. Callie, they wrote Callie so well.
Yeah. Callie is.
I think Callie might be one of my top 20 favorite characters on the show right now.
High praise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey. So then at the end of it, though, Callie's like, I'm actually not going to go. And Arizona says, oh, but don't you want to fix our marriage? And Callie's like, I feel as though maybe you going to therapy for yourself could be beneficial before we kind of unpack everybody else's issues.
That actually, I'm glad that you said that. I was confused by that scene.
Okay.
But I also, so when she said you go in, she was saying that like you were interpreting that as she needs to work on herself in her own therapy journey before they can even get to couples therapy.
Well, because Callie says, like, someone says, like, we were happy. And Callie's like, no, you were not happy. Like, and us going in here is not going to... Hang on, let me just find it. Shoo-be-doo-be-doo-wah-wah.
I also, when I'm thinking about therapy at an individual level and a couple's... Excuse me, podcast burp and hiccup. A couple's level. I don't know that all therapists do both. Like, so... If she's going to a couple's therapist that can't do solo therapy or doesn't regularly do solo therapy, you're just wasting a therapy session. Or
maybe,
they'll
but
just say
I think
no.
Sometimes when people do couples therapy, at some point you would have maybe a one-on-one session, but I could be wrong. Okay, Callie says, I've been wishing you hadn't told me that we could go back to our life to being happy, except we weren't happy. At least you weren't. And so we do things like have sex with other people. And then Callie says, and Arizona says, I made a mistake. And she said, I don't think it was a mistake. I've been picturing you screwing that woman over and over again. I can't think about it or talk about it anymore. I'm done with all that for right now. So I'm not going into that room, but I think you should. I think you need to. Yep. I mean, I kind of understand where she's coming from. I mean, I do think that it would be like, it's like part of this. I don't think she's saying, well, I won't do it at all. I just kind of think maybe Arizona coming to terms with some things on her own might be beneficial before they look at the relationship on a whole. That's kind of how I took that.
That's fair.
But I see your point of being like, there's, yeah, you don't know necessarily that the therapist is going to be like, yeah, that's totes fine.
Yeah, that was just my confusion. I wasn't sure what was like the next step of what was going to be happening there. So, yeah. Okay. I feel a lot better about that. I really don't know what's going to be happening in general.
Just watch the show.
Sorry, I just lost that. Oh yeah. I would like to see them work it out, but I don't know that it's going to.
Well, what do you think, like, what are your options of how it could play out, I guess?
Well, Callie realizes that already, she realizes, we saw her talk about this, that she's been cheated on by both of her spouses, mm-hmm. regardless of gender. So, I don't know, maybe there's a world where she moves back home with the security guard of Genovia and mm-hmm. says, you know, I don't know. But maybe them getting a divorce, I feel like the divorce is leading to one of them leaving the show or both of them leaving the show. I don't know. Obviously. So, but I want them to get it together. I want them to work it out. But also I don't. I'm like, no, like, Kelly, she messed up. She cheated. I don't know. I'm also not the right person to ask. I have just problems in general with infidelity, but
I don't think there's anything wrong with having problems with infidelity. Like, I don't think, like, anyone should just be super chill about infidelity.
Icky. Yeah. But I mean, like, here's the thing. We've talked about when there's a kid involved, it is not as simple as just breaking up.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well.
But Arizona does need to do some therapy. Everyone does. But Arizona probably still needs some. She probably still needs some therapy from after the losing of the leg.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with that sentiment.
But I'm glad that we were able to talk through where that scene ended, because when she was like, you should go in, and I was like, oh, okay. I was only slightly confused, but that makes sense of, okay, she's encouraging her to go on her therapy journey.
Yeah, like, kind that of figure sense. Out maybe how you got to this spot.
Yeah.
And then we can look at us as a whole, because you've been in not a great place because of all of the leg chopping off. Maybe we should sort through that.
Yeah. What a journey we were on.
Yeah. Remember the plane crash?
I do.
What's wrong?
I do.
So all of that is happening, and like the case that Callie is working on is this woman comes in and she was at a baseball game and the guy hit the baseball and the wooden bat shattered and one of the shards went directly into this woman's chest, which is terrifying.
This, to me, I don't know if the physics line up. I don't know if the physics, like, where was this person sitting?
I don't know.
They have nets around the, like, the splash zone that, like, you're not gonna get a piece that big. Maybe you get a splinter in your eye, but you're not gonna get impaled. What did Leah call her? Human pincushion?
Ooh.
Punctured, did you catch that?
I did. Broken baseball bat. And a wrist fracture.
That's wild. I don't know. That the fit, like, okay, I get that we're supposed to suspend belief a lot of times, but the physics on this injury didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's also, woman versus shattered baseball bat, pumpkin room. Yeah, they really, the batter was jammed with a fastball and the bat exploded.
That makes sense. Physics support that. But we're not, she's like a 2x4 inside of her.
Yeah, it is a large chunk. You're not wrong.
If a fastball jams a hitter, it's going to hit where the handle of the grip and the barrel of the bat, and it usually just breaks into two pieces, and anything that does explode is like long thin shards up the barrel of the bat. It's not and it usually goes outwards where the bat was swinging. So unless she was on the field behind the pitcher. And the batter was using a physical tree to swing the bat. I don't know. This one to me.
This is where I draw my line. This is where I'm jumping the shark.
This is where I'm saying I'm done with Grays. You know, everyone has their spot. I've had enough.
Bomb in the butt, fine. Baseball bat in the chest, unacceptable.
I could look past them killing George and Lexi and Mark, but I refuse to get over the travesty that is this baseball bat.
So, what were your thoughts on this whole the wife slept with the husband's brother situation?
What a fucking selfish lady. In my dying wish, please ruin my husband's life.
Well, yeah, me dying is probably going to ruin it, but make it more difficult. Make him feel like not good about
every emotion.
That he's sad.
Yeah.
Paint his single memory of me.
And then the brother shows up.
Yeah, that was wild.
That's the wild part.
Well, yeah, of course he's going to show up.
I thought it was good. Like when they did that and they kind of lean in and it's like really intense and she's like, I need you to promise to tell my husband one thing if I don't make it. And Leah's like, yes, what? And when she's like, I cheated on him with his brother. And then the music totally changes. April makes a face. Leah's like, it's like comedic. They're like, what did she say? Ruh-roh, Raggy. And it's like, then I'm like, okay, so she lives. There's going to be some sort of arc here. But then they try to tie it all in with Callie in Arizona and the cheating thing. And I'm like, I don't really know where the lines or the metaphors are, but I hate the position that Leah's in. And Callie is being an asshole saying, I will force you to tell this woman's dying wish to her husband. Yeah. And I don't give a shit.
You made a promise
kind of,
she trusted you.
Yeah. And I don't care what kind of napalm you're dropping into this person's life. You have to deal with it. Leah, the intern who barely is a doctor. Come on, Callie. This whole storyline is fucked.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a choice. And,
I mean, the cheating was a choice. Like,
well,
it's all a choice.
It was. Well, if you were the lady in this scenario and you had slept with your spouse's sibling, would you be like, I gotta get this off my chest before I die?
No. I would be thinking about the impalement that has besieged me.
I feel when people use the term, take this secret to my grave, they don't mean it. They get so close to the grave and they say, let me shout this secret from my grave.
I don't know that I have any secrets that I'm like, I'm going to take this to my grave. Because there's the only secret that I have that I am sitting on that I want to share is one that I shan't share for friendship purposes.
Oh, right.
But it will come out one day.
I feel it might. I don't know that I have any to the grave secrets. Yeah.
That's an intense secret. Like a to the grave secret is an intense secret. The cheating is a to the grave secret.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, sleeping with the brother, that is a bold choice. That's someone you're going to be seeing regularly.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like I can guarantee I will never sleep with Jess's brother. Like, and that feels believable
to me. This storyline, it's just not fleshed out enough for me. Like I'm like, was this a one night stand? Were you having a full blown affair? Is the brother also married? What happened? When was this in the timeline of the relationship? Like I have so many questions. I do think it's shitty because if she dies and passes on the secret, she's like, this man's life is ruined because his wife has died. But now also he like doesn't have a good relationship with his brother anymore, for sure.
Yeah, we've had this conversation, I think, like very briefly on the show, and it goes back to the decision of if you cheat on someone, is the decision to tell them selfless or selfish? And it's for sure selfish.
Yeah.
This woman is dying and she said, let me just take away your support system as well.
Yeah.
There's a chance that the brother probably after the healing is completed goes, listen, man, I gotta tell you something. Like we had an affair. Maybe. And we boned. Maybe it really wasn't even sex. Maybe they just like, they did some hand stuff or like some over the top dry humping over the clothes said, dry humping.
Wait, what did she say? I cheated or did she say I slept with? Let me get the. Oh, verbatim.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's fair. Yeah. But because I don't know. That's like just that's,
again, another clarifying question that it would be true, nice to true. Know.
Well, while you're looking that up, let's just do a quick capitalism break and we'll have the verbatim confirmation here in a moment. We'll be right back. Don't cheat on anyone.
If you're listening to this podcast, it means, like us, you also have a true appreciation for medical dramas and primetime TV procedurals.
And that's why we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called the One Chicago Podcast, and it's the official exclusive behind-the-scenes look at some of the most iconic TV series on right now, including Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med. The podcast comes from the series creators themselves, Wolf Entertainment, the folks also behind Law & Order.
Each episode joins host and former Chicago cop turned Chicago PD producer, Brian Lucci, as he's joined by the actors, producers, and writers behind the epic One Chicago universe, including a chat with the showrunner of Chicago Med, Alan McDonald, about what it really takes to keep a medical procedural show as real as possible.
Now, we checked out a few episodes of the One Chicago Podcast, and here's what we thought. No spoilies! You've heard it, you know it. Listen to the One Chicago Podcast. Search for One Chicago Podcast in your podcast app. That's One Chicago Podcast.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
And we are back. I successfully did not cheat on anyone.
I'm proud of you.
Neither did Kelsey.
I didn't either. She did say I cheated on him with his brother. So I guess you could even say maybe they just kissed, because I would say that's cheating.
Maybe.
But I don't know. I think the implication, I think what they want us to think is that they slept together.
Yeah. The implication is segs.
Yeah. So that was a weird one. Yeah, I don't know that. I definitely feel like that's a selfish choice. But I agree, Callie's being a dick about it to Leah and being like, you have to tell this man. It's a lot to put on her.
And when she dies, I don't know what song is playing in the background. I don't know what the title of the song is, but it just keeps saying, stand up, drank.
Oh, yeah, drank. Because it started beforehand. Hang on, I have it right here.
And all of the stuff, I think, going on, too, like, there was stuff leading up to it where Callie's like, don't cut the clavicle. That's the worst thing you can do. And April cuts the clavicle. So it's, like, very dramatic. She's sprinting. She's running around. But and then there's like a clotting issue, I guess. It's an underlying condition that they didn't know. But then she dies and it's like, okay.
I think it's a Kendrick Lamar song.
Okay. Well, either way, in that moment when Callie's like, you're going to tell the husband, you promised, and the husband deserves to know, his life deserves to be ruined, just like everyone else's. So, like, you will tell this person, and I will stand there with a gun to your head, and I will make sure you tell the husband.
And I will revel in watching this man's life fall apart.
But then she doesn't! She, at the last second, Leah goes to do it, and Callie bails her out. And you think maybe Callie's coming around to some forgiveness, and she, you know, not quite there yet. Nice. No. Beautiful. Angelic.
Thank you so much, Angelica.
Hello, Eva.
And Peggy.
Bleh.
So anything else on that storyline with the baseball bat and the Cali and the Arizona?
No. I guess the only other comment is Leah goes into that conversation to say that the husband cheated on, or the wife cheated on the husband with the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Callie says she loves you very much. That's the only message that she has for you.
Not a single other thing to say.
Couldn't be any farther away from each other. They're just opposite.
No, she could still love her husband.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But the difference between cheating on your husband and loving your husband deeply, that's just it's a wide gap.
I mean, I would agree there's some some difference in messaging, but one does not necessarily, I don't know. Anyways, do you have anything else with
Arizona? Not with the patients.
Just the board.
April did
pass her boards. And then really awkward, like, she goes for a hug and Jackson, like, throws her for a high five. Yikes.
Yeah.
I
kind of liked the high five moment. I thought it was kind of cute. And then he moves on and he goes and, I don't know, I liked it.
It would be cute if she wasn't going for a hug.
I don't know.
I'm like, fine. I think they could have just hugged. It's fine.
He owns the hospital. He's got to keep it profesh. Not that HR cares.
They would have.
All right. We have the board meeting scene. Take us there, Skitch.
Okay. What? Skitch?
You never seen that? You never seen the movie That Thing You Do?
No.
There's a movie called That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks, Steve Zahn, and Liv Tyler. And there's a scene where they're like, take us there, Skitch. And then Guy Patterson, the drummer, he's got his shades and he's like, let's do it.
Okay. Well,
all I'm saying is take us there, Skitch.
Thank you. Owen wants to get everyone together but can't. And Jackson's like, what if we lie? And so they page everybody.
But it's got to be fucking huge. It's got to be a big lie.
Because Meredith and Derek are there from plot. They come running and Arizona and Callie get paged and Christina gets paged. So then everyone shows up and they have their board meeting in the destroyed room. And they say, Jackson's like, we're going to host a party and we're going to invite a lot of rich people and we're going to make some fucking money back so we can fix this place. And it's going to be fine. Also, when they first get there, Callie says, I'm so confused. And Derek says, I'm so tired. I said, me too. A big party, a fundraiser, invite the richest people we know. We're going to charm the money out of them. And they're like, we're going to, you know, have this meeting and figure out how much we need and what we're going to put it all to, yada, yada, yada. So that's fun.
Yeah. I what I need to know is, are they really actually going to have a party? Like, I want to see a party episode. I want to see a gala episode. I'm here for it. I'm ready for it.
Have you ever been to a fundraising gala?
I have multiple times.
It's quite fun.
Fun. I was actually at a... Am I right? Oh, I raise fun.
What were you at?
I was at a fundraising event for the adoption company that we got Vanellope from.
Yeah.
And I'll have to send you this picture. There's actually a very cute picture that they got of me. I almost slept with another fucking dog.
Yeah, we've been looking a lot right lately. This dog needs a friend.
I have a problem. I've
been checking all the pounds. The issue is, I'm like, I can't get a dog right now. We're leaving in like 2 weeks. We have to wait till we're back from this trip.
I'm sending it to you right now.
Irresponsible.
The name of this dog was Dale, and he was cute.
Oh my God, what a baby. What a precious nugget.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I feel pretty good with all of the things that we have. I'm like looking back now. The pro bono goes through. Callie saves Leah from having to ruin a person's life.
Really, Joe more than one person.
Yeah, Joe does kick the intern so that she can get, you know, Blade. the dirty stuff happening. Weber wants to die. He's mean mm-hmm. to Meredith. April passes her boards. Alex is excited to smush. Christina and Owen are like having weird moments. Mm-hmm. Try dating other people, and he says he'll try, but he's like very reluctant to it. Lanolin like sheep's wool on Meredith's boobs. Human pincushion. Oh yeah. The other thing is, she's like, when they're in the beginning scene and Joe's like, I got to keep my hot panties on. And Steph's like, are you also staying groomed down there all the time too? And she's like, yeah, all the time. And I'm like, yeah, we all should, like, you know, keep up our bits, you know, like, let's not keep it to what you want. Just, you know, take care of it. Christina
yourself,
has the funny,
but like,
yeah, clean yourself. And, you know,
you don't need to do anything else if you don't want to.
No, but if you want to, stay up to date with it, is what I'm saying. stay with it as up to date as much as you want to. Then Christina makes the haircut comment to Arizona and then leaves it at that, which is just funny. And then we get a throwback to the what have you done to evil Spawn. And she's funny there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then Derek and Meredith are exhausted and Callie is sleeping with them. Yeah, that's it. I think I got all my notes out. I think that's it.
Yeah.
I feel good.
Okay, let me find our Discord questions.
Love it.
And also apologies because I forgot to ask Discord questions last week. Okay. Would you have told the husband his wife cheated with his brother? No.
No, no, no.
Have either of you or your spouses been so tired postpartum that you fell asleep somewhere hilarious? Probably.
Yes, but here's the thing. It's not just postpartum. I could fall asleep anywhere.
Yeah,
I could
really just in parenting. Like,
yeah.
Since children, I am that tired. I have fallen asleep, like, sitting at our kitchen table. Well, especially when I was pregnant with Wyatt. I was so convinced it was twins because I was falling asleep sitting up at the table. Like, I could not. I could not.
I remember vividly, there was one time after Marla was born, I came home from work in my work clothes, and I think at the time I was still at Lucid, so I was like still wearing like a suit every day. And I came home, took my suit jacket off, put it on the couch, and I just laid down next to Grievous, and I slept on the floor of our living room the whole night. I stopped there and I slept. And Jess didn't wake me up, or if she did, she only tried and I wouldn't move, but yeah, I slept there that whole night.
Yeah. And then the, what is the funniest thing you've done or felt in the newborn stage? I remember with Scarlett, I had woken up, fed her. Michael put her back in the bassinet, and then I fell asleep, but I didn't like lay back down because I had fed her in the bed. So I was like propped up sitting up, and then I just like fell asleep sitting up. And while I was falling asleep sitting up, Jinx the cat had come and like laid down in my arms. So then I like woke up and I was like, oh my God, I fell asleep holding the baby. And I was like, Michael, wake up and take the baby. And he was like, what are you talking about? She's in the bassinet. And I was like, this is the cat.
What's hilarious
is not the baby. This is the cat.
About that is I did the exact same thing, except I didn't have a cat on me. It was just nothing. It was just a blanket.
Yeah.
And I go to Jess and she's watching me try to wake up. And I'm like, trying to like get out.
Yeah. I'm like, what if I wake
and,
this
and she's
baby?
Like, what are you doing? And I was baby? Like, yeah, I'm like, I can't. I zonked out holding Marlo. And she's like, she just points. And Marlo's like in the little swing thing. And I'm like, oh. I don't know what's happening. I'm out of it.
It can really be brutal.
Yeah.
It's like brain fog times infinity.
Yeah.
Do you think Ross handled the Weber situation well? Yes. I think of the three of them, he handled
I do.
It the best.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, what's important to note is that Weber wasn't saying to Shane, you should have just let me die. Like, maybe, right. Weber, you should just work on your communication and you should have just wrote a very proper DNR situation.
Do you think it's fair of Weber to have expected Meredith to make that choice?
No! Dumb!
Do you think Callie is being fair when she refuses to go to couples therapy? Yes, but I do think the timing is rude. Like, you can have that conversation and be like, hey, why don't you go to therapy for a couple sessions, see where we're at, and then maybe we can revisit going together.
Yeah, I also have a little bit of a hard time with the agreeing to go to therapy and then bailing out. Like, just say no.
Well, it seemed like she did say no, because then when she gets there, Arizona's like, oh my God, thank goodness you came. Like, she was surprised she was there. Here's my other issue is, realistically, Callie should also go to therapy separately, just to kind of work through her own stuff with it on her own, and then also just like kind of help learn some like communication tools and stuff like that when they're addressing the issue. But potentially, like, that's what couples therapy could maybe do. But I think just going to therapy, also because, you know, George also cheated on her, so there's just things that she could benefit. Everyone can benefit from therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the therapist benefits from therapy because you pay them.
Because capitalism. Speaking of, I did not get a therapist, but I did get a PCP and they took a lot of my blood. So maybe one day I'll find out why I'm so tired even before the children. Thoughts on Meredith, Derek, Callie setup? Hilarious. And I love it.
Love it. Want to see more? I'd watch a whole sitcom of just them.
Yeah. Should Miranda recuse herself from Richard's case? Yes and no, because yes, because emotions, but no, because if she has to, then everyone has to. Like, he's in charge of all of them.
Yeah, that last part was exactly what I was going to say. They all can't recuse themselves. Like,
yeah, he would have to go to a different hospital.
Yeah, which is just not going to happen for plot.
Yeah. How invested are you in each intern so far?
I'm invested in Joe. I like Joe a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm invested in Shane in a sense that, like, are you gonna share your murderous tendencies with the world or not? Like, I need to know. Leah, like, honestly, could we trade her out for Heather? I was curious to see where Heather was going. Leah is just kind of fine. I'll take it or leave it. And then Steph, I don't know. I'm kind of take it or leave it with Steph, too.
Yeah, they're really only giving us her with Jackson, not really her, like, as a doctor, which isn't really fair.
And I like her. I like her, but I think that I still want to see Jackson and April together, is what I would like to see. I just don't think that Steph being a part of the picture is going to lend that to happen. Honestly, Steph and Matthew should just get together. but yeah, okay. I think right now Joe is my number one still.
Will Leah ever learn not to nickname the patients while they're awake?
Honestly, I hope she doesn't. I hope she keeps doing it. It's funny.
And
in the worst way.
Predictions for Owen and Christina's future.
I no, I'm not. Who asked me to do that? Who asked me to predict this?
I don't know. Destroy Troy.
Okay. All right. Fine.
I don't remember who that is. Sorry. My brain is frayed.
I don't want them to get together unless Owen goes to therapy. Owen is the problem with the relationship because he wants a kid. And well, that's the root of the problem. Like, Christina doesn't, and he does. That's the root of the problem.
Yeah, I don't know that therapy is going to fix that.
No, I get that. But if he's able to go through therapy and truly, truly work on himself, and at the end, he realizes that he loves Christina more than raising a child, therapy will at least help with that. He was trying to create these feelings out of thin air, which doesn't work. But if you work on yourself and you come up with that end result, I would at least feel good about that end result because you've worked with a professional to talk you through those things and reach that rationale. Mm. It's like, you know, I'm a White Sox fan, but if I go to therapy and I realize that the White Sox are hurting me, but actually I'm a Cubs fan, at least I would have gone through therapy and worked on myself to achieve that goal. It's not me saying right now, out of spite, I'm just going to be with a Cubs fan. And that's kind of where I feel like Owen was. He's like, I'm just going to hate love you because it's like what I'm used to. And I've already convinced you to marry me once. Like, how hard can it be to keep loving you? I don't know. You know, so it's.
It was a weird analogy. I don't know if I'm super tracking with you, but I respect the effort.
For the record, I don't know if I am tracking with myself, but I'm really trying. And maybe I need some therapy right now.
Right now, call the therapist. Hi, I know it's almost midnight. Could you just? Okay, so then.
What other? But for the record, I don't want Christina and Owen to be together. I just want to circle back to that.
Richard.
Right now, fuck that guy. He's going to live. He's going to be fine. I think that once he gets a little bit of. Once he gets his first cheeseburger, you know, he'll go to Marathon and say, listen, I'm so sorry. I screwed up. Like, I was a dick and it was because I was hungry. And you're not you when you're hungry.
I
just needed a Snickers.
Snickers.
Nothing really makes you hungry like getting electrocuted and being in a basement for who knows how many hours.
That's the saying. Anything for Shane? Or just the interns in general, I guess.
Interns in general. I don't think they're going to kill any other interns from this group. So the next character from the show, if they decide they want to kill someone, is going to be either a new person they haven't introduced us to yet, or it's going to be someone not from the intern class.
So a new person or an old person? Those are my options for who they're going to kill next?
Yep. That reminds like so Pokemon printing, the company that prints Pokemon cards bought a new factory in I think North Carolina, and it's the largest printing factory in the entire world for Pokemon cards. And I saw someone comment on the post that says quality control will either go up or go down. And everyone was like, the responses to that post were just beautiful. It's just so funny. Like, anyways. Who are we talking about? Steph? Shane?
Just the interns in general.
Shane, interns? Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. They're all. I'll tell you, I don't know that Leah's going to pass her intern exam. Maybe that's what gets her off the show.
Yeah. Okay, we talked about Kelly in Arizona a good bit. We don't really have anything to predict for Derek and Meredith.
I predict that they will continue to not get sleep for a while.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to predict? I guess Alex and Joe, maybe.
Yeah, I'm back on. If I don't remember if I've been off this bandwagon, but if I was off, I'm back on in a big way. They're going to get married.
And then do you want to do anything for April, Matthew?
I don't. Not in this episode. I'm going to predict they break up. By episode, what are we, three?
This is episode three.
By episode 14, Matthew and April will break up.
Okay.
I think she's going to leave him at the altar.
Okay. Oh, in episode 14 or by episode 14?
I think in episode 14, she's going to leave him at the altar. It's going to be their wedding. She's going to leave him at the altar.
Okay. And then, I don't know if I have any other questions. Do you?
Can I give you a wild prediction?
Of course.
After April leaves Matthew at the altar, April's going to decide that she doesn't want to have sex ever again for the rest of her life, but she does want to bear a child. So she's going to a sperm donor, but it's going to be an anonymous sperm donor, and it's going to end up being Alex's sperm, and Alex donated sperm to raise money for his ring for Joe, and he's going to be the father of April's child.
That is a wild prediction.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the Christmas tree in the basement, and that thought came to me.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry, it's a Christmas miracle, as they say.
Okay, well, let's rate this one.
3.9.
I was going to say 4, mainly because it got some chuckles out of me, some good one-liners. Also, it was just a little bit different with the way with Christina's case. I liked that it kind of it just didn't go according to plan, but no one like had any kind of fits, or like she wasn't rude about it. She was like, you were right, you know, he needs to be on the transplant list, so we're gonna put him on the transplant list. And
yeah,
I thought that was good. I did not love the whole Richard thing. That was annoying.
Yeah, the things that I didn't like in this episode were more annoyances than like really not enjoying it. It was a good, enjoyable episode. I watched this episode on the plane coming home from Orlando. So I'm like cramped.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I brought my computer because being a Southwest Rewards member, which I am, I get free Wi-Fi on the plane. So I brought my computer, but I didn't charge my computer. So dumbass. I had to do it on my phone. I fucked it up for sure.
You're silly.
Yeah. So Marlo was sitting there watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse yelling, "Oh, toodles," on the plane at midnight. It's fine. And Jess is sitting there sending out emails, and I'm like typing, and I'm like,
where it's like the tiny little square in the top of the phone, and you're like typing the notes on the phone. I've done it. In the car line.
That's what I usually do on the train. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got, I think.
That's all I got, too. So thank you guys so much for listening. Again, just keep an eye on that Instagram for the update about next week. We don't really know what it's going to look like. But we hope you all, if you're celebrating Christmas, we hope you have a lovely Christmas. If you're celebrating Hanukkah, I believe this comes out on the 5th or 6th night of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays in general. Any holidays you may celebrate. If it's just that season and it's stressful, I'm right there with you. We're right there with you. We can all enjoy it and get through it. We just need some holiday treats and some holiday snacks.
What I will also say, too, from a gentle PSA is don't give your animals food leftovers. Don't give your dog's bones. Unless you really want a very expensive vet bill this holiday season. We see a lot around the holidays of like, I don't know why my dog is vomiting and has a bone stuck in his gut. I gave him a pork shank as a treat to say I love you. It's fine.
Chicken bone also, splinter.
Yeah. We had the 2-year anniversary of saying goodbye to Grievous the other day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
2 years.
2 years. Our friend Lizzie stayed here in our house while we were in Orlando with Penelope. And I was texting her. I was like, is she okay? Is she doing well? Like, is she good for you? And she's like, yeah, she's great. She's sweet. And I was like, well, she's no Grievous. And she's like, that is an impossibly unfair thing to put on any dog. Yep. How dare you? And I was like, well, I guess, okay.
It's so true.
Yeah. He was the best. I miss him. I want to get another one. I should clone him.
You have one. It's too late.
Of Grievous? No, I'm getting another one.
Okay, well, I hope everyone
one
has...
One more dog per year for the next 3 years.
Okay, I hope everyone has a great Friday. Happy late episode drop day. We hope you've had a lovely one and you have a great weekend and a great holiday weeks to come. And if you see Carmen frolicking down the streets of Chicago in the snowy, snowy blizzards, just remember...
no spoilies! We appreciate you so much. We wish you all the very happiest of holidays from our families. Our Grey's Academy family to yours. Thank you so much. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you all in the next one.